Okay, we're recording now. Tonight we're joined by James Farmer from Melbourne. He runs a consultancy incorporated Subversion. I think I got that right. But more importantly, he's been a long-term edu blogger, commentator on ICTs in education, and he set up the prolific edu blogs platform. It's a WordPress install for a lot of teachers to set up and run their own blogs on WordPress. James has had a lot of things to say, and this is the first time I've actually listened to James live, and I'm personally looking forward to it. He's been given the challenge of 10 minutes to talk about facilitating anything to do with facilitating online learning communities. He's chosen the topic of identity and ownership. So obviously we'll go over 10 minutes, but the goal is to try and get it down to a nice, punchy 10-minute lecture. So I'll switch off my mic, and it's over to you, James.
Thanks, Lee. And kind of great to meet you as well, although I think that we might have met once back in a blog talk down under very briefly. Not too sure about that. Okay, so do we have the slides going? Super. I'm turning the microphone on and keeping on then. It's great to be here. Thank you for the invitation, and thanks to all you guys for coming along on a Thursday afternoon. A very committed bunch, all good. As Lee said, I wanted to talk a bit about identity, ownership, and online learning. And in particular, the tools that we currently use, some of the tools we're beginning to use, and some of the tools that I think we should be using. I'll just go far away, give you a bit of a quick rant on the subject, and really looking forward to your questions, your ideas, your thoughts, and also please don't hesitate to let me know if you disagree with me. Moving on to the second slide now. Wonderful. Now, this is probably what most of us recognize when it comes to online learning. This is pretty much the first thing that most people see, whether they're in a university or increasingly even a high school. They see a blackboard or a WebCT content management system. Eek, indeed. And you know why they care? Because, to be honest with you, this is the thing that makes most sense to a lot of people. The people who design these systems aren't stupid. In fact, they're not even not stupid, they're actually very clever and are listening to teachers saying what they want. And teachers think, the internet. I think I'll be using that for sharing my course documents and sharing my materials. And, I need something that looks like a classroom, which is nice and simple. And so this type of metaphor, this type of information transfer system, is what a lot of people want. And it's what most people aren't getting at the moment. But I'd like to contend that this isn't really a successful use of the net. Sure, content management and resource management is important, but at the same time, it's not half as important as communication. And as we've moved on in terms of technology from the late 90s, we've come to find new communication tools, new social softwares and web tools, if you want to call them, and this is giving us a whole lot of opportunities. And if you pop onto the next slide, there, Lee. Yes, this is pretty much what we see when it comes to communication online. We see a bulletin board, which was cannily renamed, I think, some time ago, the discussion board. It's not really a discussion board, it's a bulletin board. It's a forum. And it's a threaded forum as well. And I'd like to know how many people who aren't computer geeks actually use threads and get seriously involved in them. Because I think they're a good way to manage kind of support queries possibly, help issues, maybe chat about games online, hints and tips. But when it comes to having real conversations, they're not very good at all. And there's a few reasons why they're not really good for conversations. In the first instance, they're incredibly hard to manage and to interact with people on. So say, for example, if I leave a comment or a conversation on a discussion forum like the one on the screen, I've then got to wait and see if someone will respond. Now, I don't know if they've responded. I don't know when they're going to respond. Most of these don't come with email or RSS integration, so I've got no way of being notified on some response and say, I might come back and the next day check if someone's responded, at which point I might leave a reply, start response. I also might not. So the person who's responding to me doesn't know if I've replied to their response and so on and so forth. And in the meantime, it's probably got drowned out by about 50 or 60 people on the same course asking if people want to have a coffee or giving their brief little introductions. Yeah, sure, great teachers, committed teachers, people who are really, really engaged with this stuff, they're able to develop things in here. I've seen people manage to get communities, manage to get conversations going. But even great teachers can fail, and for the rest of us, and I'm certainly one of the rest of us, it's virtually impossible. It's a nightmare, and I've worked in a lot of context, seen a lot of research. It's just those people failing again and again and again. But that's what's talking about the dynamics of a discussion board. What I'd really like to focus on is the identity and ownership within this sort of system. Now, if you post a comment into this discussion board environment, bulletin board environment, you don't have any ownership of that at all. You might have a signature that's on it. You might, lucky, have an avatar or a picture next to it. But essentially, it's just in this third-party space. It's not yours. It's not owned. The course will probably get archived. You'll probably delete your material. And that's why you find a lot of people copying and pasting their comments into Word documents to save them. They have no ownership. It's not a very motivating experience. And when it comes to identity, they haven't actually got that facility to really develop any sort of character or personality within the particular area. They can't customize the way that they appear. They can't customize the way that they respond to other people. They can't even customize themselves over time in a coherent fashion. Most of these things don't even have the facility for people to click on a tab and say, see all of my posts. It's a nightmare. It's virtually impossible to have identity and virtually impossible to have ownership. But then there's options which are starting to come about, and I'm sure, as you might have guessed from my first slide, the next slide, if you take us under that, Lee, is starting to talk about blogs. And this is where I come from, and I'll quite unashamedly say that I think that blogs and social technologies are the ways in which we can get over some of these issues of identity, some of these issues of ownership, and some of these communication dynamics to have some more successful communication. Now, sure, it's not a finished product necessarily yet. There's many things coming along. We're adapting on time. But you can use blogs for whatever you want. And that involves creating an identity. It involves owning the content. And then it involves using it in a communication dynamic that can work. So here's Joyce Valenza's Neverending Search blog, a great librarian blog and edu blogs. She's using this to host discussions and interaction between other librarians and between other teachers who are using these sorts of technologies. It's a brilliant way. She can put up a post on a particular topic. People come and leave comments underneath the post. They can get emails when people respond to their comments. People can get information back from this who's there. Hey, Alex, I might come back to that just down the end, especially with the Sydney Morning Herald element, given my previous affiliation. So Joyce is able to use this in a whole load of different ways, and these ways can involve basically hosting sorts of discussions. That's the sort of thing she does, as well as putting in some great posts. If we could roll on to the next slide, that would be fantastic as well. So here we've got the random sorts of Lewis Schmier. Now, this is a fairly new edu blog, and I'm interested in this one particularly because Lewis actually put this out since, back in 1996, 1997, there's an email list. And it's just transformed to an edu blog. Now, why is it an edu blog in case of, rather than being an email list? Well, previously, it was a one-way list. People could technically respond to him, but they certainly couldn't have conversations with each other. Now he posts thoughts and ideas and information up there, and people can have conversations in the area. Also, Lewis has got an online archive, and I tell you, the guy who was maintaining his existing online archive was extremely happy that Lewis could now be putting it together himself. Isn't this a great method of publication, a great method of sharing ideas and resources with other teachers? Moving on to the next one, though, this is another personal favourite, And this is actually something that, funny enough, my dad was involved in the UK, and it follows the exploits of Barnaby the Bear around the world. That is quite a few teachers and some students who are travelling around to Australia. Barnaby's certainly been to Melbourne, to Iceland, to the US, to South America, take photos of him, they post them onto their blog, and they share those with primary school students around Birmingham, which is where I'm from originally in the UK, and give them the opportunity to send comments to Barnaby, ask Barnaby questions about where he's at, and generally kind of start conversations about the locations and the areas that he's in. And so I think these are three really good examples of exactly how you can use these tools, these blogs, and in this instance, EduBlogs, in order to create the kind of learning environment and the type of communication environment that you want. And I could go on about that in some detail, but I won't, because it's only a 10-minute lecture, and I'm sure there's some questions about that. But what really matters to me about this is that it allows you to create an identity for yourself, like Joyce. It allows you to have ownership of your content, your material, like Lewis. And it allows you to put all of these things together and use it in wonderfully interesting teaching ways that actually work, like Barnaby. Now, these have specific application when we start looking at the research about how effective teaching and learning online goes. If you could pop to the next slide, Lee, that'd be fantastic. This is the community of inquiry model that I tend to cite quite a lot, possibly a little bit too much, but then, you know, you can't have too much of a good thing. And this is put together by Randy Garrison and Terry Anderson in their book E-Learning in the 21st Century. And it says, to have a successful community of inquiry, to have a successful online education experience, you need three things. You need social presence, cognitive presence, and teaching presence. And this is backed up by stacks of research, stacks of experience. And I got to say, having met Terry Anderson, you know, it's pretty inspirational, researchers and educators. But what do they mean by these things? Well, cognitive presence means that you need to be looking at things and engaging with topics and asking questions which are relevant and which you can learn from, which are interesting and which can engage you. So that's fairly obvious. We do that all the time. But when we start to move into an online environment, how do we allow people to have teaching presence? Now, let's go back to that discussion board. Does a teacher have teaching presence? Can a teacher have teaching presence in that area? Not really. I mean, firstly, there's nothing that actually says they're a teacher, apart from their name. I mean, even putting them in bold might be a benefit. But they don't actually have the ability to direct, to facilitate, to move around, and to coordinate learning, which is what teachers do. And they do it bloody well. And to negate that, to just drop a teacher off as somebody who organises and supplies the content, is not a thing that you want to do. Now, a blog can allow someone to have a very strong teaching presence. That blog for that course, or that blog for the person, or the category for the course, can be a very strong, coherent, developed over time hub for all of the other sites, or for all of the other students. It allows them to visit it, it allows them to be updated of elements that have gone onto that site. It allows them to have one place that they go that's a teacher's place, which allows them to facilitate and instruct and direct. Instructing, directing isn't a bad thing, despite what many people might have you think. I think I read a post about it today, actually, which said that I think they were talking about moving teachers to learning agents, which in my book is absolute nonsense, but you can read more about that on inksub.org sometime. But finally, and perhaps most importantly, they talk about social presence, and I think this crosses across teaching presence as well. And social presence is defined as the ability to project yourself as a real person over time. Now, to do this, think about this, a real person over time. To be a real person, you've got to have a real identity. You've got to be able to project yourself in the same way that we wear clothes or cut our hair in a certain style. Now, with a blog, you can really do that. With some of the new tools we're developing, like customizable headers, like widgets, like different styles of blogging, tumble logs, whatever you want, you've got that facility for people to be able to really give themselves an identity. And over time, well, naturally, what could be more a matter of being developed over time and put together over time than the blog? These blogs, they simply add to them, obviously, in a reverse chronological order. They're developed in bits by bits. people have ownership of it, so they want to develop it. It's like an archive of their materials, their course notes, of how they speak to students. So if you can project yourself as a real person on the web, if you can do this over time, if you can establish this identity, then you're halfway towards actually creating a quality learning online educational environment, which tools like Blackboard or MobCT just don't do it. However, and this is going to move on to my final slide. That's a request to move on to my final slide, please. More fun. Is Lee probably gone away? However, you said it's getting these cues right. it's messy. This is a diagram, I think it was done by Lilia Efimova back in the day, and it shows the interrelationship of different blogs in the blogosphere and how they interact and relate with each other. And it's really messy. In these sorts of environments, you don't have the opportunity necessarily to engage with a structure that you might be familiar and happy with. You don't necessarily have the facility for controlling everything and putting everything in place. People can put funny things on their blog and funny pictures. They can go off and talk about something else. You might not necessarily be able to administer or control them. They might form strange networks. and it's not necessarily easily explainable. But the last thing that I'd say about that is that this is real life. And if you want to have real conversations, if you want to have real communication, and if you want to have a real identity and real ownership, you have to take a slice of real life as well. And that perhaps answers to a degree your earlier question about managers and people being highly paranoid. Well, there you go. If you want people to be rigidly structured in a classroom, then you're not going to get real learning experiences. If you are going to put people into segments and make them act only in a certain way and give them incredibly large amounts of rules and regulations, you're not going to get real learning experiences. And exactly the same is true online. You could take a bit of a deep breath and step into the blogosphere. And that's all from me for the moment.